In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Brethren, after multiplying the loaves and after feeding 5,000 men, Jesus dismissed the crowds, and at once he made his disciples get into the boat. It was clear that the crowds considered him as the Messiah who was expected to come and deliver them from the Roman yoke. Seeing the miracle of multiplying the loaves, they were about, and seeing all his miracles, they were about to take him by force and declare him as king, according to John 6:15. The crowds, who are like the crowds of the political conventions nowadays, wanted a political leader like Jehu in the Book of Kings, or Yahoo, not the Yahoo, the website. Probably it was named after him. Who was a bloodthirsty, ruthless, and murderous king. And as you read the Book of Kings, you see that the crowd took their clothes and spread them under Jehu, or Yahu, the king. And they sounded the trumpet and shouted, "Jehu is king." This nationalistic approach was shared by the disciples themselves, even after his death and resurrection. Cleopas said, "Our own hope had been that he would be the one who set Israel free," in Luke 24:13. The apostles expected the messianic kingdom to be the political restoration of David's dynasty. Even before his ascension to heaven, the disciples asked him, "Lord, has the time come for you to restore the kingdom of Israel?" In refuting what Peter Jennings had mentioned in his program, The Quest for Jesus, who falsely claimed that Jesus was crucified because of his revolutionary activities against Rome, I would like to emphasize this morning that Jesus Christ had no relationship whatsoever with the zealots who used violence, it was a political group, to achieve their ambitions, their nationalistic ambitions. You remember when Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and their splendor, promising that he will give him all these things. Jesus answered him, "God is the one to whom you must do homage. Him alone you must serve." Another commandment of Jesus Christ, loving the enemies, is the greatest argument we might use to contradict the idea of Peter Jennings. For how can a person be violent and at the same time loves his enemy? And even in the gospel of this morning, the disciples bowed down before him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God, the Messiah, who is able to feed the crowds in a miraculous way and to protect them from all the elements of nature." And above all, though, what Jesus meant is to deliver them from fear and skepticism. Jesus performed this miracle this morning, walking on the sea, is not to show himself as a political leader, but to strengthen their faith in him and in God. The faith in the true Messiah, not the political Messiah, is required by the apostles and disciples. Jesus did not demand this time the winds to cease, but he himself stretched his hand and took hold of Peter and saved him. It is not the assault of the wind, but his lack of faith that made him sink. If his faith had not been weak, he would have stood easily against the wind, against the sea, and against the elements of nature. Nothing helps us to be near Christ if we are not being near him as the Lord and Savior. The faith in God and not in a political powers is the greatest help for those who live and those in the midst of the trouble of this world. By walking on the sea and by commanding Peter to do so and preserving him from sinking, the faith of the apostle was strengthened that he is the truly Son of God. Although this time he did not rebuke the sea and the wind as he used in the past time, but he used another method to show that he is the Son of God. Let us learn, therefore, to be faithful in Christ and to honor him not as the people honor their earthly and political leaders. We honor him as the King of the universe, who can overcome the power of nature, and as a Savior who bestows upon us the good things to come by his grace and love towards mankind. To him be glory forever. Amen.